It is that time of year again. The Jamaican Chamber of Commerce of Atlanta is hosting the PowHer Virtual International Women's Summit on December 4th, 2021. And they are on a mission to empower women.
Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
The Jamaican Chamber of Commerce, also referred to as JAM-CHAM, is empowering her to know it's okay to be okay, to build financial wealth, empowering her to reclaim her spirit, to disrupt, remold, and recreate, empowering her to claim her space, to reclaim her spirit, and empowering her to be the boss. These are just some of the panels and workshops that they're going to have this year at the summit. And today we're going to have Suzette Arnold here with us today to talk all about the summit. Suzette is president of the Jamaican Chamber of Commerce of Atlanta. She's civic-minded. She volunteers for all types of community and civic organizations. She is chairperson of the DeKalb Preparatory Academy Charter School, and she's also a faculty member at the University of Georgia's Carl Vinson Institute of Government. Hi, Suzette. I'm so happy to have you back here on the Empowerment Zone.
Thank you, Dr. Houston, for having me. I'm always happy to talk to you. You know, we could talk for hours, you and I.
Yes, we can. And, you know, we're going to talk today all about that, about your upcoming PowHer International Women's Summit, which is sponsored by the Jamaican Chamber of Commerce of Atlanta. And I'm really excited about hearing about this conference and hearing about your growth. This is the second year of the conference, and y'all did an outstanding job your first year. So I'm sure that you're excited about putting this on again another year. And I am sure you made a big impact on the women last year. But before we get to the summit, the details about the summit, you've got to tell our audience a little bit about yourself. You know, when you look at everything that you do, and I'm just sure my audience wants to hear all about you. And I'm so happy that you were one of my original first 100 guests. And so you're back again this year. So why don't you tell our audience a little bit about you and your background and all about the Jamaican Chamber of Commerce?
Oh, well, thank you for that. But before I do anything, I have to say congratulations on getting to 100. That is certainly a milestone accomplishment, and I can see you getting to 1,000.
So oh, wow.
Way to go on your journey.
Thank you.
Really proud of you there.
Thank you.
And thank you for having me back. I'm just a island girl, on a journey and serving my community. And I do that in many ways, besides being the president of the Jamaican Chamber of Commerce of Atlanta. We're called JAM-CHAM,
JAM-CHAM. I like that.
we wouldn't be Jamaican if we didn't try to put some kind of spice in there somewhere. So JAM-CHAM is a business focused organization, whose role is to serve the business community of our diaspora here in Metro Atlanta. And we don't just serve Jamaican organizations, we serve any small business or medium-sized business who is in need of that kind of help. And so we believe that there is room for our community and people who are from the diaspora to find their space, to find growth in what they bring to the community. And as Atlanta grow, we believe so should our community, because we are a part of the fabric of our community. And we believe that we have a voice, we contribute to the economic development of the community, and we should be able to find our space. And in doing that, the chamber provides that environment where we can provide the networking opportunities and the conversations and the direction to small businesses in their growth as they try to bloom where they're planted in our community.
So why would a business owner want to be a member of the Jamaican Chamber of Commerce, JAM, CHAM?
Oh my God, that is a great question. You know, besides the fact that we create a room, you know, room for small businesses to have access to information, a lot of times small business owners struggle. They wear many hats. Sometimes they don't have access to the kind of information that they would need to make some critical decisions. And what we do as a chamber is we bring people together. We point them in the direction of where they can have access not only to information, but to capital. Sometimes they want to expand. Sometimes they're doing well enough to open another business, but they don't know where to turn. And so we're giving them the opportunity to get not just get information, but where do you access individuals who can give you those types of advice and opportunities? Where can you talk to other types of businesses in your industry? How can you collaborate? I was just having a conversation with someone the other day who, looking where we are right now, coming out of a pandemic where people are making decisions about where they want to work, what they want to do, how do they want to do it? And the chamber has a role to play in that. How do you guide small businesses as they now struggle to find workers? How do you give them strategies to help retain the workers they currently have? And so things around healthcare, for example, a lot of small businesses don't know that they can partner with other small businesses and create a network where they can provide health insurance for their workers. People now know that they don't have to do things the way they used to do them. And small businesses also have to get creative. And so taking the opportunity to be a member of an organization that has your back in that way is one of the reasons why you should join the chamber.
Those are really great reasons to join the chamber, not only for the network, but for the support, for the information, as well as the collaboration. So how did an island girl become the president of, I'm sure, primarily male-dominated organization? I'm curious.
Yes, it is. it's so funny you should say that, because at the time when I joined, which was a couple of years ago, probably going into the third year, I was actually quite amazed when I met with the board and I kind of observed my environment and there were no females around. And I thought to myself, that's interesting. That I have to change. And so since then, not only did I bring in other females to the board, I mean, the numbers are not as many as I would like them, because it is a volunteer organization, and you really have to be committed to doing the things that you say you're going to do if you are going to serve your community. And so it's hard sometimes when you're dealing with volunteer work to be able to balance all of the things that you need to do it well. And so I've been successful in bringing females into the environment, but we certainly have room for more. How did I get there? I was asked by another female. Someone who preceded me, who was female, was president of the organization and unfortunately had to step away for health reasons. And they kind of didn't have a leader for a little while. And someone recommended that I consider the role. I hesitated for a bit, but then looking at where we are and how I could really make an impact, I decided, why not take the plunge? I said I would do it for a year and I'm now entering my third year. So,
oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been fulfilling.
So looking at your role, as a woman in leadership, who are some of the women who have inspired you?
Oh my God, that's a great question. You know, when I was growing up, I remember seeing Indira Gandhi in India, being the first world leader in my eyes at the time. And I thought, oh my God, all the men have to listen to her. And, you know, that was so inspiring for me. But beyond that, I know I grew up in a family that had strong women. So obviously the women who were around me, my aunts, my mom, my grandmother, who was the matriarch of my family. And then of course, outside of that, seeing women in Africa, women, Sirleaf, who was the president of Liberia, you know, mm-hmm. take center stage in that continent and was just phenomenal in her mm-hmm. leadership. Mm-hmm. You've seen other people around. We've had right here, Shirley Franklin, who mm-hmm. I thought held her own as mayor of the city of Atlanta. And so growing up, I always had the opportunity to be surrounded by strong women. Mm-hmm. I always had an opportunity to see women in leadership roles. And so I never hesitated at seeing myself in any other way than being out front, taking the lead. So I've always been that person who would be the defender of those who would be shy, or, you know, just not being shy about expressing my feelings about how I felt about things. Got me in a lot of trouble sometimes. I was that kind of a child who was not very shy about saying exactly how I felt, especially growing up in a Jamaican household. So I can't say that I was that shy person at all.
Well, you know, it's amazing how the women in our families, you talk about your grandmother, your aunts, and other extended family members, how they really impact us and really shape us and teach us how to be vocal, how to be present, how to embrace our own voice and not be afraid to stand up. And that's a blessing to have women in our family who we consider strong, and not just strong, but who are great role models for us. And we know the United States, we now have our first African-American female vice president, and she's of Jamaican descent. I mean, I know y'all were going crazy over in Jamaica and like you said, the Jamaican diaspora. Exactly. How are y'all feeling about that?
Oh my gosh, very, very, very proud of her, very happy for her. And the fact that she acknowledged her roots, you know, a lot of people didn't know her background. A lot of people don't know that common people and faces that they see in the American society is tied to Jamaica. I always proudly say to people, America's history is tied to Jamaica's history mm-hmm. in so mm-hmm. many ways. Mm-hmm. Marcus Garvey, for example,
mm-hmm. yes,
and the pride that he brings with mm-hmm. him when he taught mm-hmm. Black people in America about self-sufficiency and about mm-hmm. You know, how to be proud of your Blackness and, mm-hmm. and wanting to do the things that you need to do to empower yourself. Mm-hmm. Right here in Atlanta, our very own Martin Luther King mm-hmm. used Jamaica as his respite,
yes,
and his place where he did a lot of his writing. So there is a connection there mm-hmm. that runs deep. And maybe that's the reason why I love Atlanta. I love the culture. I love the richness of it. But there is a part of it that's tied to us in the core. Mm-hmm. And we don't deny that. In fact, we embrace it. And I think that's something that I'm proud to share with other people when they talk about Jamaica, when they talk about the United States. It's a little part of history that I don't mind sharing with other people at all.
Yes, what a rich heritage.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so let's move on to this PowHer Summit. Like we stated earlier, it's your second year for the summit, and I know y'all are excited about it. Tell us what the purpose of the summit is. Who are some of your guests? What should attendees expect out of participating in the conference?
Yeah, this year, you know, last year, we had the summit and we had to deal with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, we had this whole conference prepared. It was going to be in person, and then there was a lockdown. Mm-hmm. And so, like the rest of the world, we had to pivot and we moved to a virtual space to have it. And what we realized is that it didn't stop us from really reaching and making that connection with women and all who support women and women's issues and all of the things that we want to talk about that affect women. And so as a chamber, we recognize that women oftentimes don't get that ease of moving into spaces they want to. And we think it's a responsibility for us to not just acknowledge it, but to do something about it, to take action to help women find their voice, find spaces, have access to spaces that traditionally they wouldn't have. And we also think it's a responsibility to provide that guidance as well. It's not just about saying, hey, here's what you have to do, but take action to ensure that it happens. And so we thought that this virtual summit was a way for us to talk about some of those things, bring people together to talk about some of those issues that affect women, not only for them to know that they exist, how to avoid them, what to do when you encounter them. Who can you talk to about those things? I mean, last year we talked about everything from health to education to financial wealth. This year we thought it was important enough to talk about it again. Mm-hmm. We talked about leadership and women in leadership. This year we're looking at it from a different perspective. How do you create that space for women in leadership? Not just the fact that we want to lead, but to get there, you have to find a way to get there. And sometimes women are elbowed out. You know, men have a way of raising their chest and their voices and people take note. Women have to find a way that, you know, we may not need to raise our chest and we may not need to shout loud. There are other ways for us to be able to make an impact. And it doesn't mean that we can't get there. It's just how. And so strategies for how to do that. And so we're excited again. Hundreds of people participated in the summit last year. It was virtual and we were overwhelmed by the response. And so this year we thought, COVID-19 or not, we're going to do it again because there's a need for women to feel like there's a space for them to come together to talk about difficult issues. This year we're talking about things like creating your own space. I'm going to list, we have 7 panels, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
Because there's so much. Yeah, because there's so much that we need to get out. Empower her to disrupt, remold, and recreate. A panel that's really going to talk about young people and not having their voices being snuffed out. Sometimes people think Gen Zs and millennials are not mature enough and they're entitled. But that's the next generation. And sometimes we need to stop and listen. Mm-hmm. And they have ideas about what they want their world to be and how they want to live their life. And technology is guiding them to that path. And pretty soon, we're going to have to answer to those people. So how do you help them find their voice? How do you help women, young women, to not feel as if they don't have a place? And so we thought that was important to have that mentoring conversation. We're going to talk about raising our boys. A lot of boys are being raised by single mothers and there's a challenge there. And so sometimes no one can tell you there's a book on how to raise children, but you often hear the moniker that women don't know how to raise boys. Well, let's talk about that. What are some of the things that as mothers we need to talk to about our sons? How do we let them understand that girls are their equals? You know, in order to break the cycle of misogyny and all of the things that keep women back, if we teach our sons that these things should not exist, then we clear the pathway to make that effective change.
Yes.
And so we want to have that conversation and empower her to reclaim her spirit. We just gone through a pandemic. A lot of us are exhausted. A lot of us are feeling a little overwhelmed. So let's talk about that. Empower her to know it's okay not to be okay. Some of us feel like we need to be strong all the time.
Yeah.
I'm an independent woman. I can do this. But it's okay. It's okay to say, I'm tired. It's yes. okay to say, you know, I've been through some things and it's okay. I'm going to be all right. So we want to have those conversations. We want to talk about how to build financial wealth. We want to talk about how to be the boss. You know, a lot of us want to be the boss, but being the boss,
you know, it has responsibilities with it,
right? That's right. That's right. And you need to be aware of what that means. Mm-hmm. And we're not trying to take away from anyone who wants to be the boss, but not everyone can be the boss. And we need to have some honest conversations mm-hmm. around that. But for those who want to be the boss, what does that mean? What does mm-hmm. that come with? How do we get there? Mm-hmm. And so we think it's important for us to have those conversations. And we don't want it to be just another talk shop. You know, we want to be able to have women have these difficult conversations. And then beyond that, take the actions that you need to move into other spaces where you can be effective, where you can effect that change. And so we're having a lot of panelists come together to talk about, these are experts in their field that are gonna talk about, for example, how to create wealth. Wealth does not mean that you have to pad your 401k. Sometimes maybe you have to invest. Maybe you have to take some risks. Maybe you own your own business. Maybe you continue to work in the area that you work. Maybe you have to have multiple streams of income. But what does wealth mean? And how do you begin? For a lot of us in the African-American community, we inherit what we inherit from our parents. And for a lot of us, that was not a lot of opportunity. And for some, we had to create our own. Mm-hmm. How do you pass on the legacy of what you have been blessed enough to accomplish to the next generation? Mm-hmm. You know, our counterparts of the lighter hue, mm-hmm. With lighter eyes and with a different tone to their skin, have passed on generational wealth from, you know, one generation to the next. How do we start now recognizing the importance of transmitting wealth from one generation to the next? And how do we create that wealth from one generation to the next? So that when you move on, you have left behind a legacy for your children and grandchildren to take onto, you know, their children and grandchildren. Those are important conversations to have, because in our community, sometimes we don't have that. And we don't have that because no one teach us mm-hmm. how to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for us to do that. When you want to get some things done, sometimes a woman have to step up to the table and take charge. And I think this is where we start having those conversations, that we can't always think that because spaces are created for men that we can't do it. Sometimes we have to claim our space. Sometimes we have to remold and recreate.
That's it, claiming our space. And wow, you all have a great range of topics. And I really like the point you made about here we're having the conversation at Power Her, but we're moving beyond theory. We're talking about the theory, but we're also moving to practice. So to make sure that the information that you learn, you can take it and use it. You have actions behind it. And that's why summits are so important, and the type of content you have is so important, because a lot of people, yes, we go to learn, but then as soon as we leave that space, we're going on about and doing the same old thing we did before. And I'm glad you emphasized that there will be some action steps associated with each of the panels at the summit. One of my favorite conferences of all time in terms of my attendance was the NALEO, National Association of Latino Elected Officials. And this was in 2009, I believe, because Obama had just gotten elected his first term. And one of the things that they did at that conference was at the end of every single panel, they said, these are the things we want you to do, and had a list of action items to go right along with it. So I'm so glad that you're going to offer that as well here at the Power Her Summit. I like it. Not that it matters, but I like all those topics. I'm looking forward to attending. And like you said, we have so much to learn about various aspects, you know, whether it's leadership, whether it's being the boss, whether it's being a business owner, or whether it's about financial empowerment and creating multi-generational wealth. All of these topics are valuable to us no matter who you are and where you live. And so with this being an international summit, I'm sure you have something for everybody who is going to attend. So tell us, what is the date of the conference? How can we register? How can we get more information about it?
It's going to be on December 4th. It starts at 10 in the morning. Of course, we're going to go through the afternoon. We have a really great program lined up. You can find us at Pow Her, and there's a play on power here, ladies and gentlemen. It's P-O-W-H-E-R, powherwomensummit.com. That's her website. You can register there. Tickets are on sale now. You can visit us on Instagram, of course, and you can see us on Facebook as well. You can go to Jamcham ATL. That's where you find us on Instagram. But you can also go to the Jamaican Chamber's website, jamchamatl.com, to find us there as well. We are really excited about this summit. And, you know, one of the things I want to say in closing, Ramona, is that a lot of times when things happen, it affects women differently because women are always in the trenches. Mm-hmm. One of the conversations we had in our war room when we started to think about what we wanted to talk about this year is, you know, women in different spaces experience different things. And so perspectives can be different. You know, for us here in the United States, we may be talking about getting into the boardroom. But for someone on the continent of Africa somewhere, maybe thinking about clean water and access to healthcare, for someone in the Middle East somewhere, they may want to be able to drive to the supermarket, but in their country, they're not able to drive. And for some, for other people, they may be getting married at 9 years old. And so there are so many things that affect women around the world, but here in the Western world, where we can try to shape how we think about how we're progressing, how we think about how we are more connected than we realize. There's climate change happening right now in our environment, and there are young children who recognize that the world around them is changing, and they're using their voice to say, "Hey, let's not use so much plastic. Let's not do those things." Well, if we can change the way women think about how we do things and the role that we play, to not just see ourselves as nurturers and mothers and wives, but to see ourselves in the true sense as the nucleus of how we can make this world move in synergy, I think if we can all find a way to change that thinking and to make sure that the next generation that's coming up recognize the impact that they can have just by being their authentic self and the choices that they make, then I think we're onto something. And I think if we keep echoing that and we keep reminding women, the ones here, the ones that are coming up, the ones that are going to be born, it's all a part of how you frame and shape things. Just think about where we are right now. Think about our society right now. You have those who are doing really well and those who are struggling. The ones who are doing well, someone shaped that for them. Someone provided an opportunity and a space and an advantage. We need to start shaping the way we think and how we do things and how we create spaces for people, for other people, for women, for those that are coming as well, so that we can have more women in spaces that are non-traditional.
Well, I must admit, the Jamaican Chamber of Commerce of Atlanta through the Power Her Summit are really shaping lives. And I'm so happy to hear that you all are doing the summit again this year. And I can't wait to participate.
Yes, thank you very much for doing that. Ladies and gentlemen, our summit would not be a success without Dr. Houston. She was the baddest moderator we had. I mean, really, really engaged our audience by working that panel and asking them really good questions and getting them to really give their thoughts about subject matters that most people would tiptoe around. She certainly didn't, and I love that about her. So thank you, Dr. Houston, and I'm looking forward to you doing that for us again.
I'm looking forward to it. It is a spectacular conference. I stayed the whole day last year, and I plan to stay the whole day this year. Thank you so much. Now we've reached the college strategies portion of our interview, and so Suzette, tell us, what school or schools did you attend? What were your major or majors and your degree or degrees? And then tell us, what is that strategy that you would give students to ensure that they're successful in college?
Okay, so I was born and raised in Jamaica, so I went to school in Jamaica. So I attended Arden High School, which was not one of the more popular schools, but it was a very good school if you wanted to have balance. It was really good with both academics and sports and the arts. So you had a well-rounded education. I left as a teenager and then moved to the United States, where I was educated in New York. So I went to Bernard Baruch College, where I did finance degree for my undergrad, and then get this, big switch. Moved to an MPA and did policy analysis. So I'm a policy analyst by trade, and worked a little bit in corporate America and then shifted to government for obvious reasons. An MPA does way better in government than does in corporate America. And so that, and the work that I do is tied to, you know, public administration. It's interesting that you ask, what advice would I give to college? Because I, in my real job, I work for the University of Georgia. And so I interact with public administration students a lot. And the one piece of advice that I always give to them is that you won't get it right all the time. But what you need to do is make sure that you get it right when it counts. And that may be a major, it may be classes that you will take. You're gonna hit a bump in the road at some point, but be aware enough that at some point you get it right.
Love that advice. Self-awareness will allow you to make good decisions and make sure that you make the right decisions when it counts. Thank you so much, Suzette, for that great advice.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. I'm so excited that I had another opportunity to do this. And I will make sure that I continue to listen to your podcast. And I am going to be sure to tell everyone I know to listen to your podcast. It keeps me company on the drive in the morning. Maybe I'm telling too much. I'm really, really excited that I was able to come back and do this with you again. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for your love and support. I appreciate it.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song. NADWORKS, digital support. And of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.